The Scuttlebox is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. GM Sean Sullivan is ready to help you today. Get to the dealership, call him, email him, find him at BillCurryFord.com. Start your search for your next vehicle right there, BillCurryFord.com.
And away we go with the Scuttlebox little game preview, and it's a good one. Buccaneers 2-0, Rams 2-0 on the road are the Buccaneers. 4:25 kickoff on Fox. Obviously, much of the country will be excited to watch this game. You go back, and we go back to 2020, Rams 27, Buccaneers 24. Go back to 2019. That was a crazy game. Bucks 55, Rams 40, and Jameis could do no wrong that day. And then go all the way back before that. These two franchises have a history of playing very interesting games. 2016, 37-32 Rams over the Bucks. And then, of course, Tom, you and I have talked about this before. And by the way, welcome in. I'm Jeff Cameron. That is Tom Lang. This is the preview version of the Scuttlebucks. Good to be here with you. I believe you were in attendance for the Sean King Warwick Dunn game, right?
I was there. Great it was a game. Monday night. My parents allowed me to go to that game as long as I promised to be ready to go for school the next day, and I was. It was middle school back in those days.
Man, you're a youngin'.
I wasn't thinking about driving a car, be it a new Bill Curry Ford, a Mustang, an F-150, or anything
That's
one mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry, BillCurryFord.com. All I was thinking about is, can we beat our nemesis? And it was our nemesis because, obviously, the Bert Emanuel game.
Oh, man. One of the most brutal in franchise history and a rule changer forevermore.
But that game was, I mean, we had a lot of classics in the late 90s, early 2000s. There was a game in which we beat the Vikings and they were 15-1 that season. Mm-hmm. We delivered them their one loss.
You're damn right we did.
But that was about Marshall Faulk versus Warwick Dunn. There have been a lot of classics between these two franchises going all the way back to 79.
That is true, and I remember the 79 matchup. In which,
you do?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that's incredible.
What's frustrating about that game, Tom, and you may not know this, as memory serves, I think we lost 9-0. If I recall correctly, we had not one but two touchdowns called back on phantom penalties.
Yeah.
Would have been a 14-9 victory. The Bucs would have gone and lost to the Steelers in the Super Bowl, but damn it, man.
I remember, yes, in the late 90s, early 2000s, the old-timer Bucs fans talking about that very thing.
Well, thanks. I fall into the category of old-timer Bucs fans.
Well, I wasn't talking to you at the time.
Yes,
and you weren't an old-timer at that moment.
No, I was 8.
Well, I mean, even in 1999, so you're 28. So you weren't an old-timer Bucs fan, but people locally were saying, man, why is it always when we play the Rams in the playoffs, there's a phantom call of some kind? And I guess also the New Orleans Saints wondered that same question. What is it with the Rams?
Yeah.
And
why?
Weird penalties
why?
Paving the way for them to get to the Super Bowl.
By the way, if you are a sporting guy or gal, I'll introduce it to the podcast because Tom and I are about that life. Tampa Bay 1-1 against the spread this year. Total has hit the over in both of Tampa Bay's games this year. The Rams are 1-1 against the spread this season. The total has hit the over in both of their games this season. So what say you? We got overs out here?
I think there's a really good chance because of the way the Rams' defense has looked. And that sounds strange.
Total's 55, by the way.
You could see this thing going over.
I'm going north of that.
Our secondary is banged up. Matthew Stafford forces you to defend the entire field. And their secondary outside of Jalen Ramsey has looked gettable. Their defensive line outside of Aaron Donald has looked on and off.
Strange to watch the early season games of the Rams up to this point. They haven't looked like the same dominating unit on defense that we suspected we would see. They do look better on offense because they have a quarterback that does, as you know, challenge you across the board. So, I don't know. I find it interesting. I think it's an interesting matchup. I think the game, and you said this as we talked about this matchup the last time we joined together on the return of the Scuttlebucks, that this game has to mean a lot more to the Rams than it does the Bucs. Now, you never want to go into a game that you do think has implications, perhaps, late in the year for who has home field advantage in the bye. You never want to go into that game and not take it oh so seriously. But the Bucs are the reigning world champions, and they're going to get everybody's best shot, those desperate to take home the Lombardi that we currently possess and those that want said advantage, as I noted. The Rams would be the team that I think certainly know they are one of the two or three contenders in the NFC that could possibly get it done from a personnel standpoint. So I do think you may see a more desperate Rams team. Now, these are all professionals. Bucks know it's a big game, not suggesting they can't go on the road and go get this win. I mean, the Bucks are averaging nearly 40 points a game this year, close to 400 yards of offense. They've been very, very good. The Rams, meanwhile, averaging just north of 30 points a game themselves. Everything screams maybe over, as we said earlier when I brought up the number.
Yeah, the thing I'd look at, too, just in reviewing the Colts game for the Rams this past weekend, the Colts were 1-for-4 in the red zone.
Oh, they killed themselves early in the game.
Now, that shovel pass call that Carson Wentz decides to continue. Like, there are times when a play's not going to work and you just need to shut it down. And Carson Wentz didn't.
He refused to shut it down.
He didn't heed the red light. No. He went through the intersection in that play, but that was only one red zone possession. And that's where I think the Rams not only need to prove something long term to themselves about their game and they're ready to take on a team like the Bucks, but they also need to prove to themselves in the short term that it's not good enough to be good in situations. You've got to be good between the 20s as well, because the Colts with Carson Wentz, who is an injury walking, average nearly 6 yards per play. That's not good enough. That's not nearly good enough. So the Rams have a lot to chew on. It's not that the Bucks don't. We've got a lot of things that we got to clean up too. But again, we can rest on the laurels a little bit, and that's what Bruce Arians has said that he's going to battle all season long. Is you got champions on a roster, and they're feeling good about themselves for a reason. So you got to remind them every once in a while. Hopefully, the other team doesn't remind us, and we can obviously within ourselves be motivated. But the Rams have a lot more to prove, short-term and long-term, this weekend.
Good news, though, is that certainly the Bucks would like to get some, if this is true of professional football players, certainly more so, I think, in college, and probably more so in the minds of fans in general. But Bucks did lose to the Rams a year ago, and you would like to think that you come back and avenge that. Mike Evans said this week about that. They're a good team. They're in the NFC. We're in the NFC. We might have to meet them down the road again, so we definitely want to win the game.
Well, if you're looking for precedent, last year the Bucs answered the bell in the regular season against Green Bay. Now, Aaron Rodgers never plays well in the state of Florida for whatever reason, but we took it to him, and we took the will out of their eyes early on, because remember, he was the one who did the pelvic thrust after the touchdown on their opening drive.
That is correct.
And it looked like Green Bay was going to be off to the races, and instead, we took the will away from that particular franchise. Now, Green Bay ended up hosting in the NFC Championship game because their schedule last year was
losing.
That's correct. They did. Their schedule was an absolute joke, and we were still sorting through some things. So if you're looking for precedent in which the Bucs are trying to make a statement within the conference, you have something from last year. You need to go on the road and get it done this time. And again, you've got to get it done against a quarterback who brings something different to the table. The good news for the Bucs, I would say, is I don't know that Stafford can play much better on Sunday than Jared Goff did last year on Monday night. Remember his numbers against pressure last year on Monday night.
He was great.
Goff sliced and diced the Bucs defense. I think he was like 11-14 with an absurd quarterback rating in those situations. Even though Stafford is an upgrade for a full season and a postseason, the Jared Goff we got last year on Monday night was exceptional.
Was a really good player, yeah. Hey, so listen, as we get to kind of giving our thoughts on what we think will actually happen in the game, and this is a fun matchup for so many reasons, because you can find the individual matchups, whether it's, you know, whomever Jalen Ramsey has put on is a fun matchup. It's a bad matchup for Evans if Ramsey's on him. It ain't a matchup he's going to win. Luckily for the Bucks, there's a lot of really talented players.
If you're Byron, you're like, so what? That's fine.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Take
him
away if
chess you piece for chess. You want to trade queens with me?
Yeah.
You can't trade queens with me.
Correct. And that's where I was going to go, because that's where the Bucs offense, which leads the NFL in scoring and leads the NFL in almost every meaningful offensive category right now, and Tom Brady's on pace to throw 70-plus touchdowns. You want to take away a guy? You want to take away Evans? Take him away. I feel pretty good about currently – the second or third best tight end in the league. I will never say anybody's better than Kelce currently, but, you know, this is the Gronk from 7 years ago. I will also note that O.J. Howard got involved last week finally, and I would just say that he's going to continue to get involved as the games go by. I will say that Godwin is Godwin, obviously. And then you have an offensive line that I think can block it up in the run game. Now, that is a big question mark against this defensive line.
Sure.
I do think you're going to have to establish something. Unlike in the Atlanta game, the Bucs came out chucking it and really didn't have to establish the run whatsoever if they didn't want to, because they had whatever they wanted in the pass game. It will not be that easy. I do think they will have to establish some semblance of a run game in order to get down the field through play action like they did in the second half of last season, really late in the year, and become the offense that we saw win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's probably true, and you got to work the seams in the middle of the field, I think, as well. Like, you know, this is a game that I would circle for O.J. Howard. I think they're slow playing him for a reason, because
sure,
you're going to need quick hitters and matchups. You're looking for matchups that you can exploit within 2 or 3 seconds of the snap, you know, guarding against their pass rush. And if you're guarding against a 2 or 3 second rush, who are you looking at? Slot receivers and tight ends over the middle. Gronkowski obviously has been somebody that you have to key for him now, like you did, like it's 2012, if you're an opposing defensive coordinator. That's great news for us. But what other weapons can we employ? And if you look at the other side of the football and what the Rams offense is doing, well, they're averaging under 4 yards a carry for starters. We're going to stop the run. Unless they do something novel that they have not put on tape to trick us, we're going to stop that run, whether it's Henderson, Sony Michel, whoever. They're going to have to get Robert Woods more involved. He's second on the team in targets with 13 through the season. A guy like DeSean Jackson, if he's healthy, we remember him from his days in Tampa, they're going to have to try shot plays down the field. Like, this is the fun part about being a Bucs fan is when you look at the tail of the tape from the trenches outward on both sides of the football, you realize how much of a problem we are. Because if you see Stafford's numbers and you say, oh my, he's completing 70% of his passes, and you're like, well, we're going to have to key on that. Yeah, that's true, but they can't run the ball. So you can spend extra bodies on the pass.
Which is always frustrating to me. The Bucs have done this on and off for a number of years now, taking away an aspect, an entire aspect, and an important one at that, of an opposing team's offense, which is the run. You cannot run on the Bucs, as you're correctly noting, and yet teams are able to throw on the Bucs frequently, even with the knowledge that you are coming in as a one-dimensional team. They have already given up this year 391 yards to the Cowboys through the air, 293 through the air, obviously last week. Fellas?
Well, I think what you're watching, though, is, and at some point you do need to make plays. You need to get to the backfield and affect the quarterback. And they did. But when you're talking about the flow of that game, when it got to 28-25, and the entirety of the game against the Cowboys, you're watching two really good quarterbacks make a lot of good plays.
And you're also watching two teams who know they can't run and are throwing it over 50 times a game.
Right. But, yes, so your attempts, your yards per attempt come down. But think about some of the throws that Dak Prescott made in week one. With the internal clock, he's trading punishment. He's the pocket presence. I mean, the one play that Ryan made in the it's a free rusher. It's Devin White up the middle. They're approaching the red zone, or the Falcons, and he does a little jab step, and he clears out of Devin White's way. Like, Matt Ryan with the elusiveness of Michael Vick from 15 years ago.
I think Devin White would tell you that he did not have his best game last week. He missed 4 or 5 open tackles, and many of them were for either loss or sack.
Well, and what he would also tell you is, I didn't know he had that move in him. And that's what happens. The desperation that other teams play with. I mean, think about the play to Patterson, the touchdown pass.
Yeah, Cordell Patterson.
That is an absolute broken play. Patterson's in on pass protection, and then Ryan breaks the pocket. He releases into a route, and Ryan kind of shot puts it kind of a hook shot or something.
It's ridiculous.
And Patterson goes up and makes a catch for it. So teams have to make those types of plays to make us a little bit ornery as Bucs fans. Stafford can do it, but he likes to hold the ball for longer than these previous two quarterbacks we played.
Final prediction as we wrap it up here on the Scuttle Bucs. Short version, obviously, on a Friday, just to get it out there before the game. I'll tell you this, I am taking the over. The more we talked, the more I started thinking about the numbers in the passing game for both teams. I would like to see both. I mean, I think both fan bases would like to see that settle down on the back end, because it is kind of strange for the Rams to give that up too. I will take the over whatever I said it was at the beginning, 50, whatever it was. But I think the Bucs lose a nail biter here. I'm going to go ahead and pick our first loss of the year, Tom.
Okay. Well, I mean, it happens in the NFL.
Well,
it's not the end of the
17
world.
Of these, it's going to happen.
Yeah, you do that in college when your team's any good at all, and it's like a shocker of a prediction. But in the NFL, that kind of stuff happens. I think. Well, here's what I want to see first. Cooper Kupp is the focus of that offense. Mm-hmm. He's had 21 targets already this year.
And he's been sensational, yes.
And McVay is really good at scheming and getting guys open. But can we pay attention to that and limit the amount of targets? Look at that. That average is 10.5. Simple math, right? So how many targets is Cooper Kupp going to have, and what's the ratio of catches to targets? How often is he wide open? That's the number one thing I'm looking for. I think this offense goes on the road and rolls again. I really feel they're gearing up for the Patriots game.
Offense, yeah.
But I feel like this is an O.J. Howard game, and I feel like it's either an Antonio Brown or Chris Godwin game, because I agree with you. I think that Jalen Ramsey's going to match up with Mike Evans. So in the end, I think it's a 34-21 type ball game. So it's right on. It's right on the number.
Big win for the Bucks, running away with it as an underdog.
Missed PAT. It's five touchdowns.
I like it. Bill Curry Ford, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles, 61 years in Tampa Bay. Still owned and operated by the Bill Curry family. BillCurryFord.com. Thanks, Bill Curry Ford. Thank you, Tom Lang. And thank all of you for listening. We really do appreciate it. More Scuttlebucks early next week. And as always, go Bucks!